It's great to have you back for another day learning who God is through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We're in Matthew 4, learning from our Master Jesus how to successfully overcome the temptation the evil one gives us to feed our physical, bodily appetites. And when we think about what we crave in our contemporary context, food and sex are atop the list. I understand this may not be true for you. I am not trying to make everyone out to be someone who lacks self-control when it comes to food and sex. I do not want to put you in a box that you do not fit into. That's not my intention. But I have been around long enough to know, I am culturally sensitive enough to know, and I have been a pastor to precious people long enough to know that Satan tempts Christians and non-Christians alike repeatedly to unhealthy and often deadly relationships to food and drink, and to illicit, that is, forbidden by God, sexual relationships. And yes, this includes addiction to and the regular use of pornography. My ministry on this broadcast and podcast is not easily done because I do not know you in person, unless you're one of the many listeners that has reached out to me and told me a little about yourself. So what I then have to do is to prayerfully discern, to ask God for wisdom, to know what practical problems people are facing, and to apply biblical instructions to you. Please do be patient with me if we come upon a series of teaching, the application of which is not an exact fit for you now. I believe God will still have something to say to you if you remain teachable. And who knows, maybe you'll face a similar struggle down the road, and or your spouse, or children or grandchildren, nieces, nephews, colleagues, and fellow Christians are now facing temptation toward the unhealthy, the unbiblical use of food and sex. Don't you want to know how to help them? Well then, please stay tuned. And this discussion emerges out of Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. When the devil, tempting Jesus with food after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, says, "This is the devil speaking. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But the Lord Jesus replies sternly, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" In other words, Christ says obedience to the entire Word of God is more important than satisfying bodily needs. In our context, food and sex. Is there something or someone more critical than food and sex? Yes, God Himself. So if you are someone who often gives in to eating too much or too little, and to drinking too much or too little, and or to illicit sex with other real persons, and or to fantasy images and videos of sex on the internet, then I'm glad you're here. This is for you. Please be here every day this week. I want the Word of God, the Bible, to help you, to be a great resource for you in standing against the devil in your own life. I want to say what I want to say graciously and lovingly, yet firmly. I want you to be set free forever from an addiction to food or perhaps alcohol that makes you unhealthy, or the resistance to food because of your poor body image, and of course to sex addiction. I know I speak primarily to a Christian audience, but that won't stop me, because many genuine Christians are every day sincerely struggling to overcome these sins and cannot. And that brings me to the two-step process I outlined yesterday. We also covered part of the first step. So how about we do this, brothers and sisters? Let me repeat the process and then we'll dive in and finish part one. How does that sound? Correct. I cannot hear you, but just play along. I favor dialogue, not a one-way communication. So I like to think of you as answering my questions there in the car, or at your home or business, on the bus, at the beach, in the library, wherever you may be. Here is our two-step process. Step one is this. I'm going to prove to you biblically that we need to know how to resist temptation, not only intellectually, but also practically. That is, we have to do what we have been taught to do, get out of theory and get into practice. I'll give you my biblical proof in a minute. And step two is this. I'll lay out for you biblically what specifically you can pragmatically do when you are tempted with bodily lusts. And for both of these steps, I'm drawn to the words of Jesus and the words of the Apostle Paul here in the Bible. Last time I took us to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and John's Gospel, chapter 13, to demonstrate for you how seriously Jesus takes putting into practice what his disciples have learned. The disciples had an intellectual understanding of what Jesus was teaching them, and he commanded them to also implement, in word and deed, what they had learned. It is the same with us. We know what we are supposed to do when the devil and his demons come calling. But the real question is, do we do what we have been taught to do? Now you might say, but I have never been taught what to do. Stay tuned for step two. I'll be coming to that soon. However, still in step one, in addition to Jesus instructing the disciples, the apostles, on practicing what he preached and they believed, there is also the example of the Apostle Paul. And I could go to multiple passages in the New Testament that are reflective of this first step, but I want to direct you to two. Paul absolutely put into practice what Jesus taught. Paul did not only live in his head, in his brilliant mind. No, he moved what he knew into practice in his everyday life in the down and dirty world where he met with many temptations. Let's see what he did. And the first thing the Apostle Paul did was to exercise self-control by beating his body into submission. Listen now to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. I hope you will also read this on your own later. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. The apostle is writing here about athletic competition, something the Corinthians in Greece, where the Olympics were invented, knew all about. And he uses two analogies. The first is running, and he says to the Christian, run your spiritual race in such a way as to win the prize from Jesus. Run with an aim. And then he uses the analogy of boxing, and he says he does not beat the air. He's not swinging at nothing, kind of play boxing. He is disciplining his physical body into submission by making it his slave, and by doing this, exercising self-control and running the race to Jesus and beating his body into submission, the Apostle Paul is overcoming Satan's temptations. We must do the same. Giving into the temptations of food and drink and sex are really a matter of a lack of self-control. I want what I want, and I want it now. So I gratify myself, but not Paul. He speaks here of what it takes to defeat the lusts of the flesh and resist the devil, as well as to obey and please the Lord. Athletes do all of this for a temporary reward, a perishable wreath, like a gold medal in today's Olympics. But the Christian person runs the race and disciplines the body for an eternal reward, an imperishable wreath that Jesus will give to us who successfully qualify as winners over temptation, rather than those who are disqualified for the reward because of our sin. But on this passage, I must be very careful. The disqualification here has to do with eternal heavenly rewards, not with losing your salvation. Paul obviously went to heaven. What he is speaking about here are fleshly sins, such as illicit sex, that disqualify a man from leading in the church, such as the Apostle Paul led in the church. All Christians are going to heaven when we die because of what Christ has done for us, forgiving our sins. But in order to qualify for rewards when we face the Lord, and to qualify for ministry in the church here and now, we must all resist the devil when he slithers up to tempt us. That is what Paul is saying. By the way, I must quickly insert this. When I talk about beating our bodies into submission, I am not talking about self-inflicted punishment. I am not talking about cutting yourself or forcing yourself to vomit when you eat, or some sort of self-flagellation. If you struggle with temptation to pornography and or to illicit sexual encounters, Paul nor I am speaking of cutting off one's private parts. I just want that to be very clear to you. Beating your physical body when you sin, or as a way to avoid sin, is not biblical because it is not even helpful. For example, doing away with one's sexual organs is not going to solve rabid lust for a woman or a man. Many have tried such things, and that didn't work. And then, as I close my comments on this first step in our two-step process that continues tomorrow, listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy 4 about resisting temptation not only intellectually, but also practically. That is, doing what we've been taught to do. Here in the context of the importance of sound doctrine, Paul writes in the second half of verse 7 and verse 8, 1 Timothy 4, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." The apostle trained for godliness. He worked at it. He disciplined himself daily so as to resist the devil. And apart from Jesus, who was more godly than Paul that we know of? Ah, yes, Paul exercised self-control by beating his body into submission, and he disciplined himself for godliness. He practiced what Jesus taught. This is biblical proof. So many people spend hours in the gym working on their physical body, but zero time in working out their spiritual body. But the Bible is clear. We overcome temptation as Jesus did by not only knowing what to do, but by actually doing it. This has been my main point yesterday and today. I've proven this to you biblically. And tomorrow we'll move to step two, what specifically you can pragmatically do when you are tempted with bodily lusts. Join me then, for God is.